That's me, Stefan. I spent my childhood between mixing desk and manure. Our farm was always chock full of musicians. The music they recorded is the soundtrack of my youth, and my father the conductor.
Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm your host Matthew Pekovich, and this is episode number 163. Out now in cinemas across the United States and due for release on VOD on the 16th of October is Connie Plunk, The Potential of Noise, a documentary that delves to the life and work of legendary record producer Connie Plunk. Featuring interviews with members of Kraftwerk, Scorpions, Devo and many more, Connie Plunk, The Potential of Noise is also an intimate look into the life of a legendary figure whose influence on music is still felt to this day. Joining me to talk about Connie Plunk is the film's co-director, Rido Kaduf. Rido, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
One thing I didn't mention there in the introduction was that this film is co-directed alongside with you from Stefan Plunk, who's also the son of Connie Plunk. I'm just really interested how that kind of relationship came about. Did you know Stefan beforehand? Did you meet each other through this project? How did that all come about, and how did the genesis of this project come about?
Well, I've done a couple of music documentaries before. I was always fascinated with Connie as a kind of mythological figure. I never met him. He died in 1987. But I was like in school bands in Switzerland, kind of playing new wave electronic music, and kind of dreaming one day to go to Connie's studio, because in the back of the record they always said recorded at Connie's studio near Cologne, and coming from Switzerland that was kind of not that far away, you know, like thinking of going to London or to New York or to Los Angeles to a studio sounded a little far-fetched, but Cologne, that was kind of doable in our heads. Of course, never transpired, but I always thought it's kind of a very interesting guy, a great legacy, and people should know about him. So at some point in Berlin, I was talking to a guy who was in the music industry, and I said, you know, I really think there should be a documentary on Connie Plunk. And he immediately said, well, you need to talk to Stefan, his son, because he basically has all the rights and everything. So I called him up, and Stefan was basically saying, well, I'm already working on this film. I'm like, oh, okay, great, good luck, and let me know when it hits the theaters. And then he's like, wait, and, you know, can we meet, can we talk? And I went to Berlin, and we kind of hit it off, and he wanted to collaborate on this, get a kind of a director with a track record on it to do it with him. And after a short time, I thought it's a great idea, because Stefan is in the film. He's actually going to around and meeting the artist who worked with his dad. So it was kind of a great work relationship, and we really hit it off. I mean, it really worked out well.
What is really interesting about the film is that as much as the film is about Connie, it's a movie also about his son's exploration into his father's legacy. Stefan was only 13 years old when Connie died. And there's an interesting line in the movie where he says he only has a handful of photos, but he has all the records in the world to access his father and the memories of his father. When you are documenting Stefan and he's going through this process of learning more about his father, what was that experience for you to capture that on camera?
It was very interesting because obviously Stefan did his homework and he was living in the studio. I mean, he knew a lot, but it was clear for both of us that it's kind of an expedition, that we're going to find out more things he didn't know about his dad. It was a very interesting journey, we had some common ground. You know, my dad died kind of when he was 49. I think Connie was 47 or 48, kind of around the same time. So there were some points where we were on the same kind of in the same camp, and it was clear from the get-go that we didn't just want to do another music documentary, at least for me. that was very important with having Stefan on board, having this opportunity to tell the story on a much more personal level. And what happened was exactly what we were hoping for, that whenever Stefan met some of the artists, it wasn't like me as a director meeting an artist, doing an interview where they basically play the artist. You know, they fall immediately back in this routine. There's the journalist here. I am talking about something I did in the past. But it was much more personal, much more emotional. People cried sometimes, had tears in their eyes. And just telling Stefan about his dad, basically. So that was the great discovery in this production, how emotional it all got.
Well, it's really interesting because Connie's studio was in this, was at his house pretty much. He had this big area. Stefan would come into the studio now and again. Almost seemed like Connie established a kind of a family kind of vibe with the artists that he worked with.
I think that was exactly his goal from when they moved out there in 72 or 73, getting this old farm, you know, taking out the pigsty and putting the studio in there. He really wanted to create an environment where artists were able to kind of work without the hustle and bustle from the city. Interestingly enough, he said, you know, the studio works almost like a filter, where it just filters out all the kind of annoying stuff and lets the artist focus on the work. So, for example, A&Rs and record company people hardly ever showed up there because it was so far outside the city and they were busy and didn't want to kind of get involved. So that was exactly what he wanted to do there.
Connie worked with so many different artists and a diverse range of artists too. And I'm sure you guys would have had a long list of people you wanted to talk with. Having Stefan there as part of the production, did that make it much more easier to get in touch with these people and have them agree to talk on the documentary?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's hard to say because nobody said no, you know, like every email that went out, a response came back. Yeah, sure, Connie, we'd love to talk about Connie. You have to understand, I think a lot of these artists started their career through Connie, thanks to Connie, you know. He hardly ever worked. I think Ultravox are a bit of the exception, but otherwise he usually worked once or twice with an artist and then they were on their way, you know. He's like, okay, you learned what you had to learn here, now go and, you know, do your thing. And I think also just by his own curiosity, he wanted to move on and experience new things and new challenges. So I really think that they are all so grateful and still so much in awe of the person and what he enabled them to do, that we really were welcomed with open arms by everyone.
The interesting thing about Connie that I found was the innovation that he brought to his craft, his exploration of new sounds, the way that he worked, his board. When you delved into Connie's story, what was it about his work that really surprised you, that really took you back? And his approach to work, do you as a filmmaker take anything from what he did and add that to your own repertoire in any way?
That's a good question. I think he was fearless, you know. He would definitely not take the easy route. He liked to be challenged. He always was after the next thing, so to speak. He didn't compromise in any way, you know, commercially. He was really looking for the core of the art of music. When they were, it's not in the film, but Stefan tells this great story when they were in the kitchen in the morning, usually listening to demo tapes. You know, he had this shoebox full of cassettes and a little ghetto blaster, and they were listening to the demo tapes coming in. And the question Connie always asked was, does this singer have to sing or does he just sing? You know, does he have the urge to really express himself, or is it just a nice voice? And if it was just a nice voice, the demo tape went straight back into the shoebox. So I think the passion which, you know, we touch in the film also kind of took its toll also. I mean, he was a maniac, you know. I think he hardly ever left the studio once they moved in there. That was really his thing. So you just have to be in awe. I think it was over 100 albums he produced in those days up to his death in 87. So really incredible workload, but obviously also, you know, not coming for free.
Yes, of course. The popular saying is, behind a great man, there is a great woman. And from all accounts, Connie definitely had that in Krista, who was his wife, and Stefan's mum. Watching the documentary, I don't remember hearing much about what happened to Krista. Is she still with us? Has she passed on? What happened with Krista and her story?
Yeah, Krista died in 2006. After Connie died, Stefan and his mom were kind of running the studio for a couple of years. You know, just there were a bunch of like really famous bands there, but the spirit of Connie obviously was still there, but Connie wasn't. So I think it was a struggle in many ways, not in like bookings and getting bands to book the studio, but just kind of keeping that flame alive. I think she had a brain tumor, if I'm correct, and passed in 2006. And this was a big challenge because the movie is obviously about Connie, but we want to kind of give credit to Krista, but not make Krista too interesting that you kind of want to know much more about her than about Connie. So it's always kind of a balance how much you tell. I always say, you know, Krista should have her own documentary because so many interesting aspects. And it was definitely a co-production what they did there. Krista did the books, you know, she finances, she cooked. It was definitely very symbiotic kind of production they had going there.
Reto, your filmography is very diverse in the subjects that you choose you want to cover in your works. How do you choose who you want to document? Is it about the passion you have for these people, or is there something else there? I mean, what's the process in regards to that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you only start realizing kind of a pattern once you look back and you've done a couple of things. And with me, what I noticed, or other people noticed and pointed out, is definitely that I'm kind of interested in creative talents, geniuses who didn't get their due yet. And I think that's definitely part of my passion, and I really think that's something documentaries are a really good vessel for, kind of introduce people to things they would have probably not noticed. You know, you don't usually know who the producer of a record is. So that's something I think that goes throughout my work, that I'm kind of, you know, it might be fun doing a Lady Gaga documentary too, but I really like digging out those hidden treasures and kind of present it to the world.
Well, Connie Plank was definitely a hidden treasure for me. I didn't know much about the man behind these songs. I've heard a lot of these songs and you don't know the producer, so I just want to thank you very much for presenting this documentary. And for everyone out there, Connie Plank, out now in cinemas across the United States, due for release on VOD on the 16th of October. Reto, I thank you very much for your time today, and again, congratulations on the documentary.
Thank you so much.